Insurance, located at 2223 Highway 145, Satillo. That number again, 662-869-0765.
Now, me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them sevens and winning all them pots. My luck was so good, I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally, they threw up their hand and said, when you hot, you hot. I said, yeah. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
And that's where we are. Your read tells you when you're hot, you're hot. Sometimes you're not, you're not. I try to stay away from that side of it. ESPN Mississippi 95.1, The Fan, right back here on game day. Coming up next, Ojai Wood joins. He does every Monday. We talk a little lines. This weekend, it set the stage for the national championship playoff, and we're all happy. Ojai, welcome to the show this afternoon.
Hey, Max, thank you.
All right. Max, we'll start in Atlanta. And your thoughts about the ball game, and was it a surprise to you?
Yes and no. It was a. It wasn't a surprise that to me that Georgia jumped out to the lead that they did, just like they did in the national championship game last year. But Max went back and looked at three games, and I'm talking about yesterday. Went back and looked at the game Saturday. Went back and looked at the game that was played in January in Atlanta. Looked back in, at the Rose Bowl game between Georgia and Oklahoma. And I have come to the conclusion that the best thing for Georgia to do is to start the game out down by 17 points. Because, listen, if you go back, and either by Kirby's instruction or at his own discretion, when they got the lead and – Jim Chaney took his foot off the gas and played not to lose. And they lost their offensive momentum. They lost their rhythm. And by the time that they had to get it back, they couldn't recapture it. But in the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma, they were down 17 points. They couldn't take the foot off the gas. And right. The only time that they were ahead in that game was in overtime. And, again, it's just too obvious. You go back and you watch the national championship game. You watch what happened Saturday afternoon up here in Atlanta. And Georgia's offense just took their foot off the gas, and it cost them. And another thing, Justin Fields is a great talent. There's no doubt about it. He's got tons of talent. I don't know if his skill set really fits what Georgia's trying to do with Jake Fromm, because I think Jake Fromm is a complete quarterback. Justin Fields had three carries for 6 yards. He brought absolutely nothing to that football game. Every snap that he played was a wasted snap for Georgia.
You know, you go back and look, and I think I was watching it very closely. When he came in on the punt team, that was the first thing. I screamed. I always watch him by myself, but I can't get the coaching thing out of me. And I hollered to scream. And, of course, Alabama already knew that, Bojai, mainly because they didn't take their defense off the field.
Right.
They had picked it up on the sideline somewhere. He was coming in, and he didn't play on the punt team. So Alabama had already had that. And, you know, the question was asked, hey, you've had three downs to make 10. You had made you lost a yard. It's 4th and 11. How do you think you're going to run the option and pitch it to the kicker? I mean, that was the way it was set up. So I don't know, and I want to ask you, you went back and you did your homework and you've looked at that, you've got a background of coaching at that level. Is it a personality situation with Kirby? Keep him kind of tied down? He's lost two ball games, the same team, for the same reason, a backup quarterback. And I'm going to say to you, basically he lost that one from a coaching mistake by calling the punt, in my opinion. That stopped the momentum. Secondly is, the last year's game, when Reed took the bite on the out pattern, to me, and coming from a guy that coaches the secondary, why they didn't stay in a cover two and let him stay with his back to the goal line, I don't know. But the fact is, I saw two coaching mistakes that cost him two ball games.
I'm in agreement with you there. Now, you know, when of course, you and I both have a secondary background, and when I saw that they were playing, I would have been playing two Bell, 2nd and 26, yeah. And again, not trying to, you know, rehash something that happened almost a year ago, but, you know, I would have been in two Bell with that situation. Show them the tight cover two look, and then bail out of there. And now you got four deep. I mean, you know, second 26, 12, 15 yards not going to hurt you, because you're still going to be dealing with, you know, third and 12, 14, what have you. But I'm going to – Max, again, Kirby Smart's a lot smarter than I am, no pun intended, and makes a heck of a lot more money than I do. But when I sit there and I look at some of those mistakes, you know, I don't know if I don't know if maybe that Kirby may be a little intimidated by the guy that he's looking at across the sideline. I just don't know, but that could be it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I there's something, though, missing, though, Bogey, in that makeup of what they do. Because, let's spill this conversation over to why Oklahoma got in and they didn't. First of all, they had two losses. They didn't win the conference championship. Mm-hmm. They had a significant loss to Baton Rouge to LSU. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look, and I've said this all morning, I know their schedule is in the eyes of the beholder, but they did not have a significant win on that schedule anywhere. They did well for what he's done. He's in his third year. He's got him competing and contending. The talent level is up there, I think, right along there with Alabama. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they aren't. There's something missing, and I don't know what it is. Mel Tucker leaves now, and I said to a group just before you came on that I guarantee you Tucker will probably take one or two of those guys with him to Colorado. If that be the case, where does Kirby go now to fill those slots?
I think he has some options. I don't know if he would raid Jeremy Pruitt's staff. You know, Jeremy's got several of those former Georgia assistants up in Knoxville with him at Tennessee. Kevin Scherer, of course, left Georgia this time last year. He was the linebacker coach at Georgia, and he is in title anyway, the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. Of course, you and I both know that Jeremy Pruitt's a lot like Nick Saban. He's really the defensive coordinator in all of this. And but I don't know if Kirby would be willing to give Kevin the the freedom that Kevin would want to come back. That would be even if he was interested. You know, you're looking at Tracy Rocker, you know, defensive line coach at Tennessee, one of the best recruiters in America as far as interior linemen goes, and Kirby fired him. And so, you know, Kirby's going to have to look. He's going to have to look somewhere, and I don't think he's going to look on Alabama staff. And he doesn't have a large enough coaching tree like Saban does, just to to pluck one from the tree. I really don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think he's going to examine, where that program is and what they got coming, what the future probably is going to hold out. All right, quickly, just a couple of. I know the lines are out. I pulled them all for the SEC bowl games this morning early. Mm-hmm. Alabama's 14 over Oklahoma, and they were, 13.5 over Georgia. That didn't work out too well for them. Mm-hmm. And Clemson, a little surprise here. Clemson's only 10.5 favorite over Notre Dame. Your thoughts about both of those lines, Bogey?
Mike Bernard told us this morning on Inside the Numbers that that Clemson was quickly bet down to around 10.5, 10 to 10.5, depending upon which casino you were looking at out in Vegas. They started out at 12.5. And so Notre Dame, it seems that the sharps, as they call them, that get their money in early, they're giving a lot of respect to Notre Dame. I think Clemson is probably the most complete football team of the four. And I'm talking about offense, defense, and special teams. With Alabama, I think that people are underestimating what Alabama's going to run up against. And I'm not talking about defensively, obviously. Max, I think that you and I and Sam could probably go out and score 20 or 25 on Oklahoma, and we're the Ben Gay game at this point in time. But what I think is going to happen in that Alabama game is Oklahoma is going to go at such a pace that Alabama has not seen. And Kyler Murray is just an exceptional athlete. He's not afraid to tuck it and run up through the middle. He can get out on the edge. If he breaks contain, oh my gosh, he's going to be one-on-one with somebody. And if you miss him, he's gone 70, 80 yards. And we've seen that all year. But I think as we get closer to this game, And again, going from a coach's standpoint, I like Oklahoma's chances as long as it's a shootout. If it becomes if they play in a pasture, I like Oklahoma's chances. If they play in a phone booth, I think Alabama's going to win, you know, every single time. But from what Mike Bernard told us this morning, he expects Alabama to settle in somewhere between 11 and 12, depending upon what news comes out of Tua Tagovailoa, because, you know, word has it is that this morning at St. Vincent's in Birmingham, he underwent the same surgery that Jalen Hurts went about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
You know, you go back and look, and what I think, just from an observation, that because of what you said, that Alabama modifies and goes back to the strong running game, it would not surprise me because of that to see Jalen Hurts get to start because he can run the football. I could tell he wasn't at full speed the other day, but both ankles, if you saw, Boji, both ankles were taped halfway up to, you know, halfway to his knee, over his shoe, by the way. But he was adequate enough, and I'll ask you one question. Georgia had a spy using that field. It was a boundary, mm-hmm. inside a boundary linebacker. Mm-hmm. When Tua was in there,
mm-hmm.
but when Hurts came in there, they kind of abandoned that. Of course, they got outside twice on him, threw one to the wide receiver who caught it just inside the goal line. I mean, inside the outbounds and stepped out, mm-hmm. and then the next one he threw it in the end zone for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then the next time they got the ball, when he dropped back, the linebackers went away. There was no spy on him. So what did he do? He tucked it and went right up the middle for 30 yards and scored.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, by showing that he can run the football, mm-hmm. Oklahoma's not going to be able to stop Alabama's run game. And I think that's the way they narrow their game plan down, mm-hmm. hope they get 20, 25 points and win it by that way.
Yeah, I think I'm in total agreement with you there. And I saw exactly what you did on Saturday when Hurts went in the game. I think Kirby thought, you know, man, he's not going to be able to run the football.
Right.
Let's make him beat us with his arm. He's shown, you know, that's why they pulled him last year against us, because he couldn't hurt us couldn't hurt us throwing the ball. Well, you know, evidently Dan Enos and Tua have pushed Jalen, and listen, I thought he looked pretty dang good throwing the ball Saturday afternoon.
I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, that the one he lobbed out there to number 17,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he just lobbed that thing up there, and he caught it, and he was wide open. He caught it inside and, you know, mm-hmm. stepped out.
Right.
And then the next time, you know, they caught the ball on the run, he was on the dead run,
mm-hmm.
going out, out from under the center, or really out from under the gun. And drilled it right in the end zone.
Yep.
And then the third time he touched it, he dropped back, and everybody ran out of there. So what did he do? Right up the middle, scored. And right. That ended the ball game.
Right. I think it's going to be, of the two games, I think Notre Dame, and I may be selling Notre Dame short, and, you know, and I've got – and I love Notre Dame. If anyone listening to me that's a college football fan – if you haven't been on that campus on a fall Saturday and walked those grounds,
right.
you need to go, because it's a special,
right.
special place. And I've got a postgraduate certificate from Notre Dame for leadership and those type things. So I love Notre Dame. But I don't think – even though I think they're better than they were in 2012, I think they're the weakest of the four teams. And but that being said – you know, Max, this is that time of year where we truly talk about team. And yep. if you and I think we saw that in Alabama Saturday when they fell behind. They stayed together as a team. It wasn't Tua's hurt. We got to play Jalen. It was the same thing as last year. Both those guys were supporting each other. And that permeates through the entire team. It's not just those two. It permeates through the entire team. And so, you know, Notre Dame has got that same cohesiveness this year. You know, the sum is greater than all the parts. They don't have superstars. Don't have any Heisman Trophy finalists. No Outland finalists. But they've got a very solid football team. And so even though I think they're the weakest of the bunch, and I think that Clemson is the best complete team of the four, I think Notre Dame's going to go and compete out there in Jerry's world.
That's going to be an interesting ball game, really, and just seeing. And I think there's one more, and I don't know how it would apply. We've already seen this happen, Boji. We saw it last year, Auburn. There are certain teams, and I don't think the top four fit in this category. But there's going to be certain teams in this bowl makeup with 11 teams from the SEC going. That I said earlier today, if SEC can win half of those, I think it's a win-win situation. And here's the reason I look at it. First of all, which teams don't want to be there? Mm-hmm. You know, they thought they played their season out. You know, and we've heard that excuse several times. Mm-hmm. Then the other one, how many of these players now that have the option to not play in the bowl game because of risking their NFL status? Mm-hmm. So or injury status that may cause them to drop in the draft. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that combined, you know, may have a say-so in the way this thing. I don't think it'll affect Clemson, Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I don't think it certainly will affect Alabama and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I'm not real sure. I mean, mm-hmm. for example, how does Georgia get back up to play Texas? I mean, that was about as emotional high mm-hmm. in a perfectionist game that I've seen a team play in for three quarters anyway that I've seen all year long.
Right. I'm with you there. And, of course, with Notre Dame and Clemson and Oklahoma and Alabama, you know, they're not going to have any trouble getting hyped because they still got something to truly play for. But
right.
as you
That's
mentioned,
true.
Georgia, I look at Georgia, they're in the same situation now that Alabama was, and it's been probably 8-9 years ago when they lost to Florida in the SEC championship game, and they had to go to the Sugar Bowl, and they
That's
had
right.
to play Utah. And why are yep. we here playing Utah? And Utah yep. just wiped up New Orleans with Alabama that night.
They did. I remember that well. Right, one more. We headed up against the break. I got to ask you this. LSU favored by 8 over Central Florida. Now, you know, a lot of people's going to be watching that ball game because of all the hoopla that's going on around Central Florida for the last couple of years. They don't get respect. They, you know, I thought Memphis had a chance to beat them. Memphis was ahead at halftime, and they came back with their number two quarterback and just ran roughshod over Memphis that last half. Mm-hmm. So does that take precedence for them in going to this bowl game? Do they think that they can do the same thing with LSU?
I think they've got a lot of confidence, obviously. I mean, you know, you don't win 25 games in a row without having confidence. And of course, against Memphis, during the regular season, they had to come back and scored late to go ahead. And Memphis was trying to get out of bounds to kick a field goal, didn't have any timeouts left, got tackled in bounds, and the clock ran out. Had they been able to get out of bounds, they might have been able to kick the field goal and break the streak. Memphis had all the motivation coming into the championship game on Saturday, and it looked like that they were going to just win going away. But Central Florida, even though McKenzie Milton out with that horrific injury, you know, Daryl Mack, you got to take your hat off to him. He just led the Golden Knights back, and they very methodically came back and won that game, you know, easily at the end there. I think they're going to go in with a lot of confidence playing LSU. And why wouldn't they? Because they played an SEC school in Auburn last year that played in the SEC championship game, that had beaten Georgia, that had beaten Alabama, and we beat them. And so they're going to go into this game with a lot of confidence. Now, you and I both know that athlete per athlete, LSU can out-athlete them all over the football field. But, again, is LSU going to heed the warning, and are they going to be ready to play this Central Florida team? Because if they're not, Central Florida could be 2-0 versus the SEC over the last 12 months.
Yeah, and that's not going to sit well with a lot of people. That's all I can say. All right, I got to ask you one more question. This is something I've kind of lost contact with. LSU's got a defensive back that's going to probably go in the first round. Mm-hmm. He declares for the NFL that he will graduate before they play. School is out. What is the status on announcing that you're going to go, as long as you don't take anything from an agent or sign with an agent? Does that preclude him from playing in the ball game, or what is the status right now with the NCAA and the draft?
Right, and you know, and Max, things have changed so much since you and I had to deal with that directly. You know, the NCAA has become a lot more flexible with letting letting athletes have interaction with agents who are registered, you know, with the NCAA, and almost like a career day kind of thing, you know, not signing contracts or anything like that, but just gathering information and being educated. And nobody does that better than obviously the Nick Saban there at Alabama. But no, as long as he has not as long as he has not signed a contract, as long as he has not taken any type of compensation, then it has. He can say right now, I am declaring for the draft, but you know I'm going to go ahead and go ahead and finish out the year. And not a whole lot of difference between that and you know what Kyler Murray's saying. Kyler Murray's saying, right. I've got to make a decision between football and baseball, but this is going to be, you know, this is going to be my last year playing football here in Oklahoma. I'm either going to play professional baseball or professional football, and I'm going to give Kyler Murray the same advice that Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders gave him: choose one sport and choose baseball.
Yeah, that's right. I think he will. From everything I've ever read about him, I mean, the kid started off at Texas A&M and with Kevin Sumlin and all, and we know all about the transfer and that stuff. But I believe I read somewhere where he was already offered like $7, $8 million. He's going to be a first-round pick.
Oh, yeah, the A's.
Here in baseball.
Yeah, the A's have a $4 million signing bonus on the table for him right now. They own his rights right now. And I think the way that works, as long as he signs that contract before the next open draft comes, that deal is still good. And, of course, let's not forget, you know, his dad, Kevin, he was an outstanding quarterback at Texas A&M back in the day.
Yep, that is true. Hey, Boj, as always, great, great report. Thank you so much for your time today. And we'll talk again probably next week as we get ready for bowl season.
Lots going to be happening, Max. We're going to have a lot of coaching moves this week. One thing with Alabama, they're probably going to lose another coordinator just like they have in the past. Looks like Mike Locksley is a lock to go back to Maryland and be the head coach there.
Well, it is, and then we don't know what Tennessee, if he's going to dip in to get Dan Enos or you know whomever else he can pull off that staff, I'm sure.
Yep.
I'm sure Jeremy Pruitt needs all the help he can get in Tennessee right now.
No doubt, thank you
again so much. We'll talk next week.
All right, Max. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. ESPN Mississippi 95.1 The Fan. We're coming right back here. Don't forget our website, ESPNMISS.com. Pick us up. You hear every show broadcast live, and certainly hopefully these guests that